Okay, our passage for the message today comes from Luke chapter 1, and I want to begin reading at verse 5, and I'm going to read all the way down through verse 45, and that's a lot of scripture, and you might be wondering how we're going to get all that into one message. Well, don't worry, we can do it, and we'll try to get it in the time frame too, but this week, I normally don't like to put the scripture up on the screen because I want to encourage people to bring your own Bibles and follow along that way. But since it's such a large section of scripture, and since I'd like us all to be reading from the same version, I made 19 slides and Deidre put them on the computer, and we're going to, as I read, you can follow along. So I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And then we're going to go back and talk about everything that's taking place here. So let's begin in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. They had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord." Let's go back, verse 16, "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And then when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, as Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. What a great passage of scripture. A lot going on there, so we're going to unwrap it this morning. A lot of it won't be in too much detail, but hopefully by the end of the Christmas season, we'll have it all wrapped up and figured out. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word as it's presented to us, Father, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as written by the hand of Luke. Father, I thank you for the way you were moving and working way back then in the first century, preparing the way for us to have a relationship with you. We give you the thanks in Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 39, it says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country." So it says, "In those days." Now those days were very remarkable days, as we just saw. Earlier, an angel of God had visited Mary, making an extraordinary announcement. He said, which I just read, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And so it's understandable the astonishment and the confusion that Mary had. And so her question to the angel was, "How will this be?" And then the angel said in verse 31, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Verse 34, "Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So I would say, wait, what? And then she still had to wonder, how could this be? And Mary responded to this announcement with extraordinary faith. Now, earlier we read where Zechariah wasn't so confident. And the angel said, "Because you've chosen not to believe, you'll be silent until the baby's born." But Mary wasn't a lack of belief. It was a lack of, how is this going to happen? She did not believe. Let's put it that way. And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." And she responded in verse 38. She said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Now, I was thinking about that this week, because do you remember when the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and he said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go." And what did Moses say? Moses said, "Hey, you got the wrong guy. I'm a stutterer. I can't talk." And God said, "Throw your staff down." He threw it down and it turned into a snake, right? And then God said, "Now pick it up." And so Moses picked it up and it turned back into his staff. Now, to me, that would be the test of faith, reaching down to pick up a snake. My experience with snakes is the best way to treat a snake is on the sharp end of a pointed shovel. And make sure that he's really dead, because sometimes even that doesn't kill him, I guess. That's what I've heard. But Moses, he questioned God. Gideon, remember Gideon? God said, "I want you to go and go into battle and go down to the river." And so Gideon called everybody and said, "Now go down to the river and tell them to get a drink." And so they went down to get a drink, and some of them cupped the water and some of them slurped right out of the river. And he said, "Now all those who cupped or who slurped, send them home." I guess God doesn't like slurpers. And he said, "Those who cupped the water, they're going into battle." And it was only 350 men. And Gideon's like, "Your addition is off here." And so he put a fleece out, and he said, "If it's covered with dew, then I'll go." And he said, "Well, you know, I'm still not sure if it's dry and the ground is covered this time." Anyway, the story goes in the Bible. So Gideon went to battle, and of course he won. And then remember Peter? First of all, when he was on the lake and the storm blew up and Jesus came, and they were like, "Oh, he's a ghost." And somebody said, "No, he's the Lord." And Peter said, "If you're the Lord, then let me come to you." And Jesus said, "Well, come on." So Peter gets out and he's walking on water. But all of a sudden he looks around and he says that he saw the wind, and I still don't know how you see the wind. It says he saw the wind and the waves, and his faith, not quivered, but it shook, and he sunk. And then it was like, Lord, save me. And it says that God stretched his arm out. So Jesus stretched his arm. He was the first superhero because he had a stretchy arm. He stretched it out and he pulled Peter up out of the water. And then later in the courtyard, Peter denied Christ three times. Go back to the Old Testament, Joshua. You know, Joshua was strong and courageous, and he led the children of Israel through the Jordan River. Remember how the water stacked up and they all walked through, 1 or 2 million, however many they were, and they got into the promised land. And then the Lord kept having to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Be strong and courageous. You know how many times he told him that? 7 times. So if you're a little quaky in your faith, just remember Joshua. The Lord had told him and all these things, but 7 times he had to tell him, don't fear. Be strong and courageous. And then we all know of doubting Thomas. How would you like to have maybe just one time, a couple times you're mentioned in the whole Bible and you're remembered for all eternity for one little incident? You doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead, and all of a sudden now we have doubting Thomas. And everybody knows who doubting Thomas is. The disciples said, some of them said, we saw Jesus, he was here. And Thomas like, there's no way. I will not believe it until I can touch the holes in his hand and in his side. And then he went about his business. Then Jesus appeared a few days later, and he said, look, Thomas, it's me. Come here, touch. And Thomas was like, no, my Lord and my God, I believe, you know. But through all eternity, he's going to be doubting Thomas. You know, when we get to heaven, my first guy I'm going to look up is Obadiah, because I've shared before that Obadiah has one little book in the Old Testament. He's one of the minor prophets, and he's only a minor. We call them minor and major prophets. The minor prophets aren't any less major than the major prophets. It's just that their writings are a lot less. And so Obadiah, when we get to heaven, the first thing Obadiah is going to say is, hey, how you doing? We shake his hand. He's going to say, did you read my book? And I'm going to be like, yes, I did. It's only one. So make sure you read the book of Obadiah. So when that happens, you don't have to kind of put your head down saying, no, I didn't have time. He's going to be like, it's one chapter. It's only one chapter. So all these Old Testament people, Mary had more faith than all of them combined. Her simple response was, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. That's what Mary said. And then in the story that follows, the announcement from heaven was confirmed. It was confirmed on earth. So first the angel came. The angel came to Zechariah. And by the way, Zechariah is going to get some bad press later on because of his lack of faith. But in his defense, it had been 400 years since anybody had seen an angel or heard from the Lord or anything. All of a sudden, God broke out of the Old Testament and into the New Testament. He's like, Zechariah, and Zechariah was the priest. And I've shared this before, but maybe you weren't paying attention. But once a year, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies in the temple. And it says here that they drew lots. So all the priests that would serve all year long, they would draw a straw, and they were the ones that got chosen to or throw the dice or whatever they did to go into the Holy of Holies. And you only were allowed in there once a year, and you went in, you burned incense, and you had to do everything exactly according to the law. And rumor has it that they would tie a rope around the ankle of the priest going in case he did something wrong and God zapped him dead, that somebody else didn't have to die going in to drag him out. They just pulled the rope. Out came the dead priest. And then the next guy got in line. So he's in there, and the angel appears to him, Gabriel. And he says, this is going to happen. You're going to have a son. And he didn't believe it in his heart. So in this story that follows, the announcement from heaven, this announcement from Gabriel, was confirmed on earth as God moved various people to affirm the word that had been spoken to Mary by the angel. In Matthew's gospel, it tells us about Joseph, who was moved by God through a dream to protect Mary by taking her as his wife. And then there were the wise men who were moved by God to come from distant lands to affirm the new king. And Luke tells us about 3 people who were moved by God to affirm to Mary the unique glory of the child that she bore. Elizabeth was the first one. She affirmed that Jesus is Lord. The shepherds affirmed Jesus as Savior. And Simeon affirmed that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, and we're going to look at all three of them in the next 3 weeks. They all three bore witness to Jesus as they confirmed to Mary that what she had heard was truly from God. And so this is the story that will follow us as we prepare for Christmas. We begin today with the witness of an older woman whose name is Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a godly woman. It tells us in verse 6 that she walked blamelessly in all the statutes and commandments of the Lord. And she was married to Zechariah, who was a priest. And the couple didn't have any children, verse 7 says. And Luke tells us that they were advanced in years. And then the angel Gabriel appears to Elizabeth's husband while he's serving in the temple. And he doesn't believe the promise. And so his ability to speak was taken from him. And I want to talk about that just for a second, because nobody is helped at all by the words of a priest who does not believe the word of God. And so Zechariah was silenced until the promise was fulfilled. And this is a big problem today. And that is serving in a leadership capacity in the church. And let's just say as a pastor, and he doesn't even believe God's word to be true. And there's many churches that have pastors behind the pulpits today that doubt God's word. And they say, well, this part of it's okay. God is love, you know, Jesus is love and all that. But the judgment of God, we have to ignore that. The culturally unacceptable things that the Bible calls out, we have to ignore those because we live in a different time. And I say, you take the whole Bible as one unit and you believe it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, whatever the last verse is in there. Because it's all inspired by the Spirit of God, and it's God's revelation to us. And even if you don't like it, you change your way of thinking to line up with the Bible. You don't change the Bible to fit your way. And so it's a problem today, and nobody is helped in a situation where God's word is not taught to be the truth from God himself. In fact, everybody is hurt. And the Holy Spirit is grieved when people don't take it as God's inspired word. And I don't want to be too hard on Zechariah here, but the cold, hard truth is that he simply doesn't believe. And think about this from Elizabeth's perspective. Her husband comes home from work, and he's unable to speak. And so he makes signs, and he writes words on a tablet. And I'm not talking about an iPad type of thing. I'm talking about parchment. Gets out a piece of parchment, has to write words on there and hold it up for his wife, you know, and she has to guess. And you know, maybe that's where we got this idea of Pictionary. Remember that game where you get somebody up there drawing pictures? You got to guess what they're saying. Elizabeth's probably saying whatever she's saying. No, and he draws something else. But he has to remain silent. But then to her great joy, she discovers that she's going to have a baby. And weeks and then months pass, and then one day there's a knock on her door, and it's Mary, and it's a relative from another branch of her family. And this visit from Mary would have been a complete surprise to Elizabeth, because they lived in a totally different world than we do. We live in a world of planning. You know, what are you doing for Christmas? Who's coming for Christmas? When will they get here? What time is dinner going to be? What time do you think they'll leave? You know, the older you get, you start worrying about those things. You know, it's like, I have a hard time keeping my eyes open after 8 o'clock. Think they'll stick around and that L-tryptophan's going to kick in. And I mean, we try to plan everything. But the ancient world was very different. It was full of surprises. No cell phones, no texts, no emails. They didn't make endless arrangements. People just showed up. And that's exactly what happened. It says in verse 39 that Mary arose and she went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And I like that, because everywhere I go in haste. My wife is like, what's a big hurry? And I'm like, it's a passing zone. We're supposed to use it, you know. Get there in haste. Get where you're going. And then relax. Mary, in haste, she takes off to the hill country, and she enters the house of Zechariah, it says, and she's greeted by Elizabeth. So here are two women, and both of them have an extraordinary story to tell. Elizabeth's story was remarkable in itself. After all these years, she was finally expecting a child. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth were like a new Abraham and Sarah. And I'm sure she's thinking, you know, what would Mary think of this remarkable news? But Mary has news of her own to share. And her story would shine even more brightly by far. Elizabeth had conceived in the usual way, and her and Zechariah were about to be blessed with a child in their old age. And the New International Version, the angel says, the translation, they say, this child will bring you great joy. And I can't think of any child that has not brought their parents great joy. Can you? Every child brings great joy to their parents. And every grandchild, I was telling a story one time, and I was saying how much I like to hear the word dad. You know, it's like our son will call, and he'll say, "Dad?" And I'll say, "What?" And then he'll tell me, our daughter calls, "Dad." And I just love that. And then as we left church, this one guy, he said, "You know, the name Grandpa is even better than Dad." So we'll find out in January. I'll have that little grandbaby. But every baby brings great joy. And that's what it said. This baby's going to bring you great joy. But Mary's story is quite a bit different than Elizabeth's, because Mary was a virgin. And Jesus Christ was not conceived in the usual way. What is conceived in her, Matthew 1:25 says, is from the Holy Spirit, the angel told Joseph. So God the Son took human form from a young woman who became a mother through the creative power of the Holy Spirit. And nothing like this has ever happened before, and nothing like it has ever happened since. So Mary arrives at the door of her relative Elizabeth, and I want to make three observations about this beautiful scene from the Christmas story. And in the bulletin, I made a little outline, confessing, rejoicing, believing. So the first one is confessing. In verse 43, Elizabeth says, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And you'll notice that Elizabeth confesses here Jesus as her Lord. You know, Thomas confessed Jesus as my Lord and my God after the resurrection. But Elizabeth calls Jesus her Lord before he's even born. And that raises an important question. That is, how much do you need to know about Jesus before you submit to him as Lord? Elizabeth had not heard any of his teaching. She knew nothing about his miracles. She was not in a position to study the impact of his life at all. She knew nothing about Jesus' baptism or his transfiguration, in which he was affirmed from heaven as the Son of God. God, a voice from heaven came up after his baptism and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That had yet to happen. Elizabeth didn't even need that evidence. She knew nothing of Jesus' mighty resurrection from the dead and nothing of his appearances to his disciples. She knew nothing of Jesus' ascension, in which his disciples saw him taken up into the clouds with his hands raised to bless them in Acts chapter 1. She didn't have the New Testament, and she could not have attended a church. They didn't have churches yet. All Elizabeth had was one simple life-changing truth, and that is God was to become a man in Jesus, the child who was to be born by Mary. And Elizabeth was quick to realize, if this child is God, then he's Lord of all. And if he's Lord of all, he must be the Lord of me. And so she confessed Mary's unborn child as the Lord of her life. "Who am I," she said, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You know, the incarnation, that means God in the flesh, God made flesh. The incarnation is the miracle that makes sense of everything else in the Bible. If Jesus is God in the flesh, who would be surprised that he would perform miracles? We'd be more surprised if he didn't. If Jesus is God, it's not surprising at all that he rose from the dead. What is so surprising is that he entered into death in the first place. If Jesus is the eternal Word of God, who would be surprised at him saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And if Jesus is the one by whom the world was made, entering into his own creation, who would be surprised if he had claim to the worship and the affection and the loyalty of every single person? The single truth is that Mary's child is the Son of God. And that, on that basis, Elizabeth confessed Jesus as her Lord. And with all the revelation of Scripture that's been given to you, how much more should you confess Jesus as Lord? You know, this whole scene is full of joy, rejoicing. It says in verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And I'm not a mom, and I've never carried a baby, but I'm told that every mother knows that in the 6 months of pregnancy, you're going to get some movement. But this is more than just a kick or even a turn. Elizabeth says, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And you realize what this is saying, because it's phenomenal. The Holy Spirit is mediating joy to an unborn child. And that says something about the life of an unborn child, does it not? There's joy here, not only for Mary and Elizabeth, but for those who are yet to be born. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 41 says. So moved by the Holy Spirit, she pronounces blessing over Mary, and she says, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb, blessed is she who believed." And the word "blessed" is all over these verses, and it's repeated in a way that indicates rhythm. And so scholars believe that these words of Elizabeth were actually a song, the first of five songs celebrating the birth of Jesus. We have the song of Elizabeth. Later on in chapter 1, we have the song of Mary. We have the song of Zechariah. Even after that, when he finally did believe and he found his voice, we have the song of the angels when they sang "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth." And we have the song of Simeon in Luke chapter 2. So Elizabeth could lay claim to having sung the first Christmas carol of all time. Confessing Christ as your Lord will increase your joy. And some of you would say that you believe in Jesus, but somewhere deep in your heart, you feel that the way to real happiness is to not believe, to continue to be the Lord and the master of your own life. And so you hold yourself back. But actually, you're not that happy. In fact, you're not happy at all. And people say, "Well, how can you say that? And you can't say that. I'm happy." But I can say you're not without even knowing you. Because without giving Jesus Christ his rightful place in your life, you're going to be on a continuous quest to find fulfillment and to find that happiness that you're looking for. You know, the preamble to the Constitution says that we're all guaranteed the right to happiness, we the people. But happiness only comes through Jesus Christ, and you can pursue it all you want, but apart from Christ, you're always going to come up empty. And so, if you hold yourself back, you're going to miss out. And so I'm asking you to look at these two women and see their smiling faces and hear them laughing together and listen as they break out in spontaneous song, first Elizabeth and then Mary, and then enter into their joy. This is one of the happiest passages in the entire Bible, because everything you hold back from him will make you less happy, and everything you trust to him will bring you more joy. Confessing leads to rejoicing, and you'll find greater joy with Christ as your Lord than you can even find by being your own Lord and Master. Secondly, we have believing. Verse 45, it says, blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So right there, Elizabeth says that Mary believed what was spoken to her. She believed that the promise would be fulfilled. And Elizabeth comes alongside and she says to Mary, the picture of these two women, they're up there all happy, you know, ooh, we're going to have a baby and it's going to be so great. It's going to bring us so much joy. And you can hardly contain yourself. And Elizabeth says, Mary, what God has promised, he's going to fulfill. The promise will be fulfilled. God has fulfilled his promise to me. He always fulfills his promise, and he'll fulfill his promise to you. What he has said will be accomplished. And this is a wonderful example of two women who believe in the amazing promises of God. And Mary speaks the good news to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth comes alongside as an encourager of Mary's faith. And these two must have really been kind of lonely leading up to this point, because think of their situation. She had Mary had just received a visit from heaven. You ever received a visit from heaven? I have a friend of mine who I was at her house one day, and I was praying with her, and you could say she's advanced in age, and she said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. She goes, I can't tell anybody this, because if I told my kids, they'd put me away. And I was like, oh boy, it's going to be good, you know. Who'd you murder, you know? No. She said, when my husband was suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, she said, I was just struggling and tossing and turning because I had decisions to make. I couldn't take care of him anymore. I couldn't control him. He would overpower me, and I feared for my life. And she said, and so as I was considering these things and anticipating what was ahead, she said, I was tossing and turning all night long, and she said, I just laid in my bed and I sang, God will take care of you. God will take care of you or all your days, you know, as it goes. And she said, and then I looked, and she said, someone was standing beside my bed. And she said, all I could see was his arm with a flowing robe. And she said, I heard the words, it'll be okay. And she said, that was the end of it. And so she said, is it possible that could have happened? What would you say? I say, absolutely it's possible. Of course, God intervenes all the time in different ways. And there's nothing spooky about it. She was totally in touch and praying and calling out to God, and God gave her what she needed. And I've heard other stories like that. Not a lot, but a few, several, in different ways. But imagine, here's Mary, who was going to believe what she had to say, you know. She's talking to her friends, and she's like, yeah, an angel came to me and said I was going to have a baby, and he's going to be the Son of God. I can just see the eyes rolling and people saying, aha, yeah, sure, Mary, that's a good one. I think what you really meant to say is you're pregnant and you're not married. That's what people would be thinking. So who could possibly understand? So the angel points her to where she could find fellowship. In verse 36, the angel says, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived, and she's going to have a son. Wow, that was before they even did the blood tests and the ultrasounds and everything. I mean, we're anticipating a grandbaby daughter. And I'm like, what if they're wrong? You know, what if they got it wrong and were planning, buying all these girl baby clothes and painting the room pink and doing all this? And what if he's a boy? Well, what if? You know, we'll love him. He'll bring tons of joy, right? And we'll paint the room blue as soon as we can, as quick as we can, because we don't want any confusion in this day and age on, you know, boy, girl, you know. But, you know, later on in this story, God reveals to Joseph about the baby, but right now Elizabeth was the only person who could possibly understand. And so Mary went to her, And they had a great time together. Just look at this friendship, fellowship with others who believe the word of God is a gift of God and a means of grace. And we should surround ourselves with in fellowship and with friends that are like-minded, like we are, and enjoy these things. And then finally, my final point here is believing. So here are three questions that I want to pose for you as we try to apply this to our own lives today. First of all, do you confess Jesus as your Lord? Can you stand with Elizabeth as she calls Jesus my Lord? Is that something that you could say? If Jesus is your Lord, then your life is no longer your own. And you are, in Mary's words, the Lord's servant. In all that you are, in all that you have, and all that you ever hope to be are his, because you belong to him and he is your Lord. The path on which Jesus leads you may not be the path that you have chosen or that you would have expected. Sometimes God has his own ideas in mind when we set out in life. You know, I always wondered, you know, we have a guy come out and he cleans our drains out for us when they get plugged up. And I always wondered, did that guy wake up one time when he was in eighth grade and say, you know something? I want to be out unplugging people's sewer pipes. Is that something that people aspire to be? I got to tell you, I'm glad that we have him, because there's nothing better than getting here and that and your pipes cleaned out. But I say that because sometimes God takes us down a path that we don't anticipate or that we don't even know. But God, if we're following him, he's going to lead us and he's going to provide, he's going to bless. There's freedom, and there's a release and a joy that comes when you submit yourself completely and without reservation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's more, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That's another promise, and that means by his sovereign power, you'll be delivered from the power of the devil, and God will forgive your sins. And you'll never face condemnation. Instead, you'll be brought into a whole new relationship with God in which he is your father and you come to experience life as his child. All this is true of the person who says Jesus is Lord. Secondly, are you rejoicing in Jesus' coming? Think about Elizabeth and Mary. These two women were facing enormous difficulties. And some of you may be facing difficulties today as well. Both of them are pregnant and both of them are poor. One of them has a cloud hanging over her marriage and that of her unborn child, and the other has a faithless husband who cannot speak. But these women have great joy. There's joy in the coming of Jesus. There's joy in the promise of God. There's joy, however difficult life can be or become, there's joy because God is for me, God is with me, and all his purposes will be fulfilled. And this is the joy of those words of those who say to Jesus, you are my Lord. You know, it's very striking to me, and I'm back to Zechariah. He doesn't feature in this story at all. His name appears in verse 40, one time it appears in verse 40. And in order to encourage others in believing, you have to put God's word into practice for yourself. Anybody can say, I believe. Zechariah professed faith. He served in the temple. But when the word of God came to the temple, it was not received with faith. Hebrews 13:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. First, you have to put your faith in him before he'll reveal himself to you. Zechariah didn't hear the word of God and combine it with faith. And so he had nothing to say that could strengthen the faith of his wife Elizabeth or minister to Mary, his relative. And by the way, these two women are amazing. And people say that, well, the Bible puts women down, doesn't give them their rightful place. They've never read this story because God has elevated them beyond anything that man could do. I mean, how would you like to be Mary? You know, behold, the angel, "Behold, you're going to have a son. It's going to be God's son. He's going to be Savior of the world. They're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us." The great work of God is being done right here. And this man, Zechariah, might have been at the center of it, but because of his unbelief, he's put on the sidelines. And if something like this could happen to him, it's precisely the kind of thing that could happen to us. And there's something terribly sad about people who would say that they are a Christian, who identify with the church, but they're not able to strengthen the faith of others because they're not exercising faith in the Word of God themselves. And that was Zechariah, and we don't want to be like him. Why would you want to be like that guy when you could have the joy of these women? Thank God that he was delivered. Zechariah, that is, and we can be delivered too. So I want to close with that, and usually I like to give an assignment. Anybody notice the last couple weeks you haven't had an assignment? Well, you're getting one today. First of all, I want you to find a Christian radio station. There's 106.9 out of Freeport, that's Moody Radio, and there's 102.5 out of Madison, and they're all playing Christmas songs, carols. Listen to them and listen to the words. Don't just say, "Oh, it's Christmas," and sing the songs, but look at the doctrine and the theology in those songs and praise God as you sing them. From your heart, praise the Lord. That's one assignment. The second one is don't be a Grinch or a bah humbug at Christmas. This is the greatest time of the year. Jesus, the Son of God, came, and people say, "Yeah, well, he wasn't actually born on December 25th. He was born in the spring." So what? You know? Celebrate his birth. And then thirdly, I have a memory verse. Verses 37 and 38. And verse 37 of Luke 1 is easy, for nothing is impossible with God. You know, the kids in our confirmation class, I have them choose a life verse. So they get home and they go on the internet and go into the concordance, come up with the shortest verse they can. Nothing is impossible with God. That's a great verse. Practice it and believe it. Nothing is impossible with God. And then verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." So that's your memory verse. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this uplifting passage. Thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God, that the Creator, heaven and earth, laid in a manger, that he himself had created the elements to build it, given the talent to his parents, and created them in his own image. Father, I pray today that our focus, our purpose, our will be your purpose and your will on our lives. May we never lose our gaze on you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our very appropriate closing number, Joy to the World, I ask you to stand. If you're inside, it's number 170.